Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, I have been watching a great new show that I've been wanting to turn you on to.
Oh, no.
No, you'll like this one.
No, you're always wanting me to watch TV, and it's almost always depressing.
No, this isn't depressing. This is a show called Hannibal, and it is about a FBI scientist, specialist, smart fella who solves serial killings with the help of his trusty psychologist, Hannibal Lecter. Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Right. That I'm sure that's very uplifting. I'm sure that's not depressing or dark at all.
It's not. It's a little. I tell you, it's really good. The only thing about it, though, the more I watch my season and a half, I'm starting to get a little suspicious of this Dr. Lecter. I think there's something else going on here.
Well, I mean, you mean Hannibal Lecter, right?
Yeah, that's the character's name, Hannibal Lecter.
Like, I mean, from the movies, right?
Are there movies?
You don't know about the movies?
It's a story about, it's about a FBI guy named Will Graham and his, like, buddy, who's a psychiatrist, and they just solve crime together.
Right. His buddy Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter, but I'm starting to suspect there's something a little off about him.
Right. Maybe
he's, I don't know, maybe he's got like a secret past. Maybe he's like not as nice of a guy, or maybe he has like an alcohol problem.
What? No. I mean, it's not that.
Shopaholic.
No. I mean.
Maybe.
I mean, he eats people.
What?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's Silence of the Lambs.
What?
That's the Hannibal, the movie.
Have you been watching ahead?
No, the movies came first. Like, there were books and movies, and, I mean, it's about Hannibal the cannibal.
What does being a doctor have to do with being a cannibal?
Well, I mean, in his case, nothing. He just likes to eat people.
This is crazy. Like, is this, like, one of your crazy spoiler theories?
No.
This is, like your theory about how, well, I can't come up with anything right now. Oh, your theory about Full House, that it was, they were being forced into stagnation, and any deviation from that stagnation would result in their deaths.
All I'm saying is that in real life, Becky would never agree to have twins and move into the attic and live there with Jesse indefinitely. That's all I'm saying. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I want to back up for a second. You said that it doesn't have anything to do with him, but has cannibalism had anything to do with medicine over the years?
Well, now that you mention it, yeah, the two actually have unfortunately, I should say, have had a lot to do with each other.
Tell me about it.
So before I tell you about the history of medical cannibalism, also the fairly similar topic of corpse medicine, I want to thank both Jill and Jana Marie, who recommended this topic.
Thanks, you two.
Independently of each other. So I figured I better jump on it. So we're kind of familiar, I think, with the idea of cannibalism. It's eating people, mm-hmm. right? You know what that is?
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about when it was used in a medical context, but to give you a little bit of history, you know, cannibalism has been around for non-medical purposes for, unfortunately, a very long time. There were early tribes in Brazil and Canada that would eat the bodies of warriors that they defeated mm-hmm. in order to obtain their courage. The Aztecs were famous for, I think a lot of people remember those like pictures from history books when they were younger of like all the steps. And then at the top, there was like the sacrificial, you know, table.
Sure.
And then the Aztecs would kill somebody and throw the body down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Don't you remember that?
I think you went to some darker classes than I did in high school, but sure, I'll grant it to you.
Then they would rip their still beating heart out of their chest.
Oh, you're talking about Temple of Doom. Okay. Onam Chagai, Onam Chagai.
Sure. Was that your history class?
Yeah, I did not have good teachers.
And then there would be people who would eat parts of the body as well. But that was all a sacrifice to the gods.
Right.
So it was very much a religious ceremony. The Romans actually practiced a little bit of medical cannibalism. Gladiators who were defeated used to be eaten in some cases. Epileptics would eat little bits of their liver or drink some of their blood because they thought it was a cure for epilepsy.
How are they getting to their liver?
Well, I mean, they cut them open and took it out.
Not their own liver.
No.
Okay. No,
the gladiators who would get killed while, you know, gladiating.
So gladiators would get killed and the field would be swarmed by epileptics looking for livers to
yep.
eat.
Is yep. this the what you're epileptics suggesting would to me? Run down on the field. Much like at the end of a football game when you want to tear down the goalpost, instead they wanted to carry off the dead gladiators.
And eat their livers.
And eat their liver and drink their blood.
Totally plausible.
There was also a belief, I think this is kind of interesting as we're kind of going through, you know, some of the tribal populations that practice cannibalism, that I think this is pretty gory. So they thought that after somebody died, that their soul like kind of hung out with their body mm-hmm. on Earth for about 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then it could ascend to heaven or the afterlife or whatever. So if you ate the body before those 4 days were up, you would trap the soul forever on Earth.
Wow.
So it was like the worst thing you could do to somebody. Like
the added insult to injury. Like teabagging them in Halo. That kind of idea. Just the worst. Just the
maybe
worst possible.
Worse. Maybe
even
worse
than
I would
that.
Say.
Wow.
There were also, on the flip side of that, I should mention, cannibalism was not always a bad thing, as crazy as that may sound. Hmm. There was the Brazilian Wari tribe, and there's also the Foray people of Papua New Guinea. Both of those tribes people would eat the bodies of their own, you know, members mm-hmm. after they would just die naturally or however they would die. And it was a sign of respect and honor to their spirit, kind of like soul recycling, like keeping them as part of the tribe.
It's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. So, well, not really, because in Papua New Guinea, this actually led to kuru, which is a disease similar to like mad cow disease.
Mm.
So, not great.
Not a great idea. They should cook. You gotta cook it first. That's the thing. I don't care how good a friend Davey was. You gotta cook Davey.
Yeah. No, because if you just eat Davey and Davey's got a brain disease, you're gonna get a brain disease. They actually
that's
when
not
I,
what they really, Davey would want.
When I read about this, they said there's some video games. Post-apocalyptic video games where people are all shaky because they ate people.
Really?
I thought you would know about that.
No, I don't.
And it's supposed to be symptoms of kuru.
I don't pay that close attention to the stories. I just like the shooting.
So some of these practices in Brazil continued until like the 1960s and maybe Papua New Guinea too, which is kind of crazy. But anyway.
Oh, I bet they're talking about Resident Evil.
Maybe so.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't know. Something about video games. Not my area. You know, a lot of people are probably familiar with some of these ideas that some of this stuff kind of happened. Doesn't really have a lot of medical connection until we get to European history.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is a part of European history that is largely not talked about, probably because it's kind of embarrassing. And I will say it makes hypocrites out of a lot of, and not just, I don't want to pick on the Europeans because I'm sure that in, you know, that in the New World in America, we said the same thing, who picked on tribal populations for cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the 16th and 17th century, it was pretty darn popular everywhere.
Wow, really?
So the idea was that there were the human corpses, body parts, bones, blood, whatever, could be used as medicine. This idea became very popular for a while. Why? Why did this take hold? Well, there were several different reasons. Some, you know, at the time, we're still dealing with some of the humor theory, you know, that there are humors in the body that you have to balance. And part of that was like that there is a spirit to help keep all this in balance. And so if the spirit exists somewhere in the human body, a lot of people felt like you needed more of it, mm-hmm. whatever the spirit was, and you could get it from another human body. So it was a, you know, that was a pretty basic idea was, well, you know, I'm sick. That person was healthy when they died. They probably still have a lot of that health spirit left in their body.
Okay, kind of a stretch, but I'll allow it.
There's also some influences from homeopathic ideas were popular at their time. Kind of the, we talked about like cures like. Mm-hmm. So bits of skull might be helpful for a headache.
Sure.
So that was popular at the time. There was also this kind of suspicion that every creature had some sort of predetermined lifespan. Like based on illness and they're, you know, that at some point everything just kind of goes kaput and you die. Mm-hmm. So if you were killed in an accidental way by some sort of, you know, violence or, you know.
There might still be some, well, if you'll pardon the expression, meat on them bones.
Exactly. You still got some life in you that they could harvest, you know, by eating you.
Sure.
So they had this idea, where did they get the bodies from initially?
Graveyards?
Not yet. First, the Egyptian mummies.
Oh, man.
I know.
That's why I've never found a mummy.
That's because they were all eaten by the Europeans.
All I ever wanted to do is find one mummy. Never.
So they started, you know, uncovering these mummies. There were a lot of archaeological digs that were finding these mummies. And, you know, I guess maybe it was because the flesh was so far removed from human flesh at that point.
And aged to perfection. It
was dry aged.
Yeah.
Like a fine steak.
Yeah. Like prosciutto.
It was prized because it was, they knew there was a way that the Egyptians used to preserve mm-hmm. human flesh that they didn't really understand. And so they thought there was some sort of magic or science or something special about that. And then, like I said, I think part of it was just the aesthetic. The flesh no longer looked like flesh. It was dry and dark and crumbly and... It was something you could easily like crush up and make a powder out of and sprinkle on something. And it would have very little, you know, in your mind contextually to do with like a human.
Right.
So that's where people started. We've got these mummies. Let's grind them up and eat them.
That's certainly what you were hoping for when you paid for mummification. Can I get a guarantee? I got to tell you, Dale, this is a little steep for my taste. Can I get a guarantee from you that opportunistic future people won't eat me?
Well, it's kind of a shame because really, I guess people who couldn't afford to be mummified were probably better off.
Yeah.
They couldn't be eaten by Europeans.
Yeah. Take that. Or people
hundreds
who just,
of years later.
Or people who did pay to be mummified but didn't spring for the sealant. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep those, yeah, the people who will attempt to eat you out.
You got
to
get the sealant.
Yep.
So let's talk about what parts of the human you can use for medicine, or well, I should say this, you can't use it for medicine, but they thought you could.
Okay.
And what they used it for. So first of all, the flesh of a human.
Okay.
So you can crumble it up, and this is how they originally used a lot of mummy, you know, because like I said, it was all dry anyway, so you can make it powdery really easily. So you could crumble it up into like a powder and use it in a tincture to stop, they thought you could use it to stop internal bleeding.
Oh, okay. Like, okay, so that doesn't, there's a certain logic to that, right? So it's like a powdery blood, so it would like help coagulate, like a thickener?
I mean, it wouldn't work, but I can see where they were coming from.
Sure, right, of course it wouldn't work. It makes sense to me, of course it wouldn't work.
It was used for blood clots, it was used for coughs, it was used for menstrual problems. So a wide array of uses for human flesh. You could take the whole big piece of the corpse, make a paste out of it, and put it on any bruises you have, which seems a little extreme for a bruise. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just going to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, don't grind up a human and put it on there. There was one particular recipe that I liked, which was if you could find the flesh of a cadaver of a man who was reddish or had reddish hair, something red, and if he was around 24... and dead from violence, not an illness, and then you cut it into chunks, and then you added some myrrh and a little bit of aloe, and then soaked it in wine for several days, that would be really good for just about anything you can come up with.
Or nothing. Maybe.
Or getting you arrested.
Yeah. nauseating
or a psychiatric evaluation.
Right.
Or if you don't like that,
alienating your parents,
you could just take his heart and pulverize it and then take one dram on an empty stomach if you get dizzy.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if that would impact my dizziness at all, but I have some light nausea.
What I don't understand is how dizzy are you?
Yeah, I don't know the point of dizziness where, like, where you go from, whoa, I better sit down, to, whoa, I better eat someone.
I've never been.
I better eat a mummy.
I've never been that dizzy in my entire life.
You need me to help you up? No, just give me a mummy flesh.
Can you just give me some mummy real quick?
Do we have a mummy around the house? I'm emergently dizzy.
Go down to the druggist and purchase a mummy.
I can't take it. How are these people finding mummies? And why are they eating?
I don't know.
What did they think their grandchildren were gonna do if they ate all the mummies?
It really shows a lack of foresight, you know?
Mummies are the renewable resource.
Yeah, clearly mummies like oil and coal are all going to go away someday.
You know, for every mummy you eat, you got to plant two mummies. That's the only way Deep Mummy Station is going to keep us sustainable.
We're going to have to look for alternative mummy sources.
We're out of mummies.
For wind mummies or solar mummies.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, you know, everybody tells you that ethanol mummies are going to be the fix.
That's the future. Don't listen to that.
That's
Willie Nelson's
going
to try to sell you on corn mummies.
That's a whole other problem.
Holy crap. Okay. All right. So what other mummy parts can we eat?
Well, okay, I kind of alluded to this already, but the skull was also a great thing for, mm-hmm. for its medicinal value. Like I said, it's good for headaches. If you grind up the skull into powder, it's great for headaches. Again, for epilepsy, because they kind of had a sense that epilepsy started with the head, which mm-hmm. they were, I mean, you know, the brain, they're right. Not that grinding up a skull works for that. But,
no, yeah.
There was a certain... recipe that called for mixing it with chocolate, ground up skull with chocolate, and making a drink out of it.
I'll try it.
I wouldn't be too bad.
I'll try it. Yeah. Why not? I'll drink Ovaltine. What's the difference? Got calcium.
And this was, skull was particularly popular among the royals.
Well, yeah.
King Charles II had something invented. Well, he purchased a large amount of ground up skull and had it dissolved in alcohol. And he would carry it in a tiny little dropper. They were called the King's Drops. And he paid a ton of money for this stuff.
Yeah, I'd probably like charge the king a ton for that, too.
And he would take these drops pretty much every day, which wouldn't be too bad. I mean, it's an alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
But King Francis I was also enamored with skull powder. And he would carry at least some part of the mummy, skull or something, in a pouch at his waist at all times.
Just to keep that good mummy energy flowing into him.
Just in case. It was in case he got in an accident or got sick.
Okay, yeah. You got to keep an emergency mummy supply.
It was like his EpiPen.
Okay. Somebody mummy me. I can't reach my mummy.
Do you have a first aid kit? No, but I've got some mummy.
In a bag.
In a bag tied around my waist.
I found a mummy. I'm going to eat it.
Similar to the skull, it was also believed that the moss that would grow over the skull, like while it was decomposing, buried in the ground, this moss is called usnea.
Okay.
Was very good. It had all kinds of medicinal properties, and they thought it was good for epilepsy. Again, a lot of stuff was good. Everything was good. Nobody understood epilepsy, so we'll just throw anything at it.
Yeah.
And then for nosebleeds, which actually... there's a little bit of sense here.
Really?
So you would take a wad of the moss and shove it up your nose when you had a nosebleed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not that far from what we would do except with TP.
Right. So, I mean, that probably worked.
Yeah, right. And then wait.
But the usnea, I will say, it was a lot of people tried to make like fake Usnea tried to like sell you powders and stuff that looked like it was made of the moss but wasn't. Mm-hmm. So the people who were smart or had enough money to do so would demand that it come attached to the skull. I want the skull
right
with the moss fresh growing on it so that I know for sure that this is the real deal skull moss and not that imposter skull moss that grew on not a human body on a tree or something.
What about blood, Sid? I know we had to be eating mummy blood.
Well, I do. I have a lot to tell you about blood, Justin, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that quite yet. I don't know if that's something that your insurance will cover, me informing you about blood. So I'm going to need you to head over to our billing department and find out, okay?
Sure. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends... I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm mm-hmm. not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine in my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Blood. Tell me about blood, Sydney.
So let me tell you about blood, Justin. Thanks for settling up your accounts.
It's my pleasure.
I'll provide you with some more medical information. So, you know, the idea that blood could be used for something, that blood has a lot of power, that's not a new concept. I mean, all throughout medical history, we find people doing weird things with blood.
And that lady on American Horror Story Coven, remember? Madame Delorme.
Yes, who liked to, like, this idea probably comes from this, who liked to, you know, rub blood all over her skin to keep it youthful and drink blood to stay young and healthy.
Right.
And
there's also a special on the History Channel every Halloween about people like this.
About people who were like real vampires, but they weren't real. They weren't real vampires because there aren't real vampires, History Channel.
Okay. History Channel.
There aren't real vampires or werewolves. We know this. History Channel.
Stop trying to fool us, History Channel. Anyway, sorry.
So
get upset about that every October. It's literally the most you could screw up your job, History Channel, is to be like, vampires? I don't know. Are they? They aren't.
No.
Stop it.
No.
You're embarrassing yourself. Anyway, sorry.
Although we do watch it and enjoy it.
I mean, we'll watch it.
So blood was good for vitality. That makes sense. Now, the one thing that got tricky about blood, and the reason that, and this is, as I'm going to talk about, we started to move away from mummies as our only source for human flesh medicine, was that the thought was, if you're going to get blood, it's got to be fresh. They're just making this stuff up wholesale.
Yeah.
If it's going to help you, it probably needs to be fresh blood.
Not mummy blood.
Not mummy blood. Because how do you get mummy blood?
Fresh mummy blood is one of the great oxymorons.
So the closer you could get to fresh, the better the blood was going to be. If you didn't like ingesting it just as blood.
And I don't.
Because, I mean, how did people, you know, consume the blood? They just drank it.
Yeah.
But if that freaked you out, which it should, hello, there was a recipe that one guy came up with for blood marmalade.
Ah, delicious.
So you could spread that on your toast in the morning.
Yeah, why not? Don't let the kids get that.
Wasn't like Paddington Bear a big
Paddington
fan of marmalade?
Bear loved blood marmalade.
I don't remember that from the book.
Vampire Paddington loved blood marmalade.
They thought, of
don't
course.
Don't get me started on Vampire Madeline. We love our bread, we love our butter, but most of all, we love blood.
Obviously, blood from young, healthy people was better. Or virgins, even better.
Listen, I'm 33 now, and I obviously know the blood from young people is better.
This got to the point where people would stand at the hanging scaffold when somebody was going, you know, to be hanged. Hanged. In that context, it's hanged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hanged. And would have their cups ready. And afterwards, sometimes if the hangman was in a good mood, would slice open a vein for you and let you take a little bit. Yeah. For the road.
I bet you got to kick in some shillings, though.
Well, yes, you had to pay him. What was even better is if you were lucky, it was going to be a beheading, a public beheading.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So then you could either, you know, as soon as the head
get that Gallagher,
fell off.
Get that Gallagher splash mat on the front row and just collect it.
No, that's exactly it. They would try to get as close as possible to get sprayed by the blood when the head came off.
Oh, my God. I thought I was kidding.
Dead serious.
That should be the subtitle of Solomon's, I thought I was kidding.
No, people would either bring their cup to try to drink some or at the very least get sprayed by the blood after the head was chopped off.
Yikes.
Fat was also used. That was another popular human substance. Human fat bandages were soaked in. So again, we're moving into fresher corpses. Human fat can be liquidy when it gets warm.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's ever been in an anatomy lab has experienced this. You can soak bandages in it and wrap wounds in it for wound healing. Or you can just rub it all over your skin. Good for gout, arthritis, rheumatism, whatever. Just rub fat all over you.
Okay.
Or, I mean, don't.
Don't do that because it's gross.
There were also minor uses for brains, for the stuff that came out of a gallbladder, for breast milk, for bladder stones. There were other kind of recipes that centered around these products. But the main things, like I said, the blood, the fat, the skull, the flesh, that's what people were using. But as we've alluded to, the problem is they were running out of mummies. There's a limited supply of mummies, people. You can only eat so many. And obviously, you know, I haven't said this so far. There were people who were against this.
Thank God.
Not everybody was into eating people. And there were plenty of doctors and clergymen and politicians and then just normal, like, everyday people who were like, hey, I don't think we should eat people. That sounds like a bad idea. We probably shouldn't eat all the mummies. Like, this is maybe we're going to, like, look at them in a museum someday or
horrify
children with them.
It's me, 1700s Wilford Brimley. It seems like there's not as many mummies around as there used to be. Yeah, I've been noticing it, too. Mummy eating is a serious problem. And if we want there to be mummies for the next generation, we've got to stop eating them.
Because of the relatively fewer amount of mummies available for eating, they started to become pricey.
Mm-hmm.
The price I saw quoted at one point was £5 a pound.
Wow.
Which I'm guessing was a lot at the time.
That must be organic mummy. Pricey.
So because it was becoming so pricey and because there weren't as many mummies available, especially people in the lower classes were trying to find ways to benefit from this good dead people medicine mm-hmm. without, you know, having to break the bank. So they started trying to cure. And I use the word cure as in like ham or meat.
Oh, okay.
Cure recently dead, especially strong men, but women would do too, as long as they were healthy and vital before they died, struck down in the flower of their youth.
That's essential. The potential. Is the potential. Really
that's
for.
What you're wanting. That they would start curing them in like honey and herbs. Mm. So, like, put them in a box, fill it with honey, throw a bunch of herbs in there, put them in the ground, and then you can take chunks of that and use it for medicine.
Now I'm getting hungry.
There were also, as you mentioned earlier, this is when grave robbing for this purpose became pretty popular. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, if you were an enterprising young pharmacist or doctor or whoever, you know, dig up some bodies and sell stuff as medicine. If nobody was dead, as a last resort, and you don't want to kill anybody, please don't, you could always drink menstrual blood.
No, I think I'm just going to just keep my dizziness. Thank you. I'll just be dizzy.
How bad are you feeling?
What problem do you have? Oh, man.
They talked about even after some...
I would eat a mummy first. There, I said it. I'd eat a mummy.
After some royalty died, if they had some sort of illness that caused bleeding before they died, the rags or the towels that were used... you know, to mm-hmm. wipe up the blood would be like people would rub them on themselves and try to like squeeze them and soak them in water to drink that to get some of that royal blood. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, as you can imagine, you know, if grave robbing isn't bad enough, some really bad stuff came out of this because anytime, well, there's a shortage of dead people that we can use to make medicine. We need some more dead people. You can imagine that somebody started doing some bad stuff. One of the worst examples I found was, and I didn't know this, Pope Innocent VIII, mm-hmm. on his deathbed, to try to keep him from dying, his doctors prescribed him the blood of three young boys.
Mm.
And he drank the blood of all three of these young boys in an attempt to save his life before he eventually succumbed to his illness. And all three boys died.
Now, he's the one your people consider infallible, right? That's Pope Innocent. Is that the one?
Your people?
Your people?
We're going to just throw this around?
Your people?
Listen, okay? The Catholic Church has not had a spotless history,
all
right?
When it comes to young boys. Sorry, young all boys right. throughout history.
All right. We've screwed up. Sometimes
take ownership of your mistakes.
The Pope is not infallible all the time.
Pope Innocent the eighth Pope Innocent was the one that drank the blood of young boys.
The first seven probably didn't.
Probably.
Of course, this led to people who were poor and desperate being compelled to sell their blood for money. Mm-hmm. Not
unlike today's college
youth. Exactly. Only at this point, you would, you know, either cut yourself and sell a cup of your blood to somebody who wanted to drink it, or if you were willing, you could get more money if you would let an old person suck it directly from your arm.
Okay.
But that's how you could make the most, because they thought if they could get it straight from the source, ooh, then you're really... you know,
yeah.
Gonna, I don't know.
Drinking something. Blood.
Then you're drinking blood. There was also, as we've talked about before, a lot of bleeding going on, bloodletting at this point, you know, from doctors and barbers and whatnot. So there was an added incentive to, one, bleed your patient maybe a little more than they need to. Because then you just take all that blood, put them in some jars, advertise them in your shop window and sell them.
Hey, why not?
So you're bleeding one guy and having another guy drink it.
Sure.
And you can bleed him later.
Convenience.
And then as I kind of mentioned, the executioners had a whole side business now. So you could just divvy up your corpses and sell them off to people in chunks, or, you know, sell their blood or whatever you wanted to do. I mean, a lot of the time, if we're talking about criminals, these people are not going to get like a proper burial.
Right.
So nobody was going to object to what the executioners were doing with the bodies.
Good for the environment.
I don't know. But I mean, bad for like human soul, bad for human.
Maybe
like,
bad for just the world at large.
But congregate. I don't know.
For the earth.
So, you know, and the fear of this was that if we look back, and a lot of this is supposition, were people killing like beggars or lepers? Were they grabbing plague victims and using them for this? Ugh, possibly dead criminals. Was this a motivation for killing off members of society that they thought wouldn't be missed? Maybe. I don't know. This may led me to question like, hey, maybe Sweeney Todd was a doctor. Did you consider that?
Maybe.
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 Just baking up
maybe
people
they wouldn't
pies.
Have been, maybe they wouldn't have been so upset if they'd found out what was actually in them. Maybe they would have been excited.
Hey.
They might have been stoked.
He just took the wrong, it was the wrong like
should advertise.
There.
Yeah. Does this happen today, Sid? I mean, no. This is a medical practice.
No, we don't eat people anymore. I mean, you shouldn't eat people anymore. The best I could come up with as like a correlation to today was, I know that placenta eating is popular among, I don't know, Matthew McConaughey and somebody else, other people on the internet. We watched it. Mm-hmm. People blend up their placentas and eat them.
Yeah, why not?
But other than that, and I don't know that that's, I mean, yes, that is a human product. Thank goodness no one is harmed or killed. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, no, there is no medical benefit to eating people. I can't believe I had to say that.
Yeah, there.
There's
just
no
to clarify.
Medical benefit to eating. Please don't eat people. Thanks.
And thank you to you at home listening for being so cool. I know it's kind of a different, it's kind of a change having advertising on the show, but you're not losing any show, and we get to feed our daughter. So that works great.
So there's a really important part.
It's a really important part. Yeah. But no, seriously, we're not that hard up. All right, we appreciate you guys being so cool about it in advance. Remember, you can tweet at Sawbones is our username on Twitter. Thank you to people tweeting about us, like Melinda, your Psycho Future X, Ben Limpick, Rob Thomas, Claire Jarvis, Samo, Bamboo Media, or maybe Media, maybe.
I bet Media.
Media, probably. Nicole, Angela Hamilton, Tiffany N, Corey Dutson, Mike F, many, 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 many others. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You can always tweet at us, too, at Sydney McElroy or at Justin McElroy.
I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks to the taxpayers. Let us use their song medicines for our intro and outro. You can look for them on Twitter, buy all their music. And I guess that's going to be it. MaximumFun.org. Listen to all the shows there, like George Jesse Go, Wham Bam Pow, One Bad Mother, Stop Podcasting Yourself.
My Brother and Me.
Oh, thank you so much, Sydney.
And all the other shows that Justin isn't a part of.
Yeah, there's many
that don't feature Justin
McElroy. Many more there. There are many that do not feature me, and they are well worth your time. All at MaximumFun.org, as are our forums and so much else. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening to our show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Sawbones. Until then, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.